and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
We are going through a study in the book of 2 Timothy with the theme being passing it on. We're trying to see how the Apostle Paul is trying to pass on to his son Timothy in the faith things that will benefit him as he then will pick up the mantle of ministry and continue that which God had placed within Paul's life. We all have a huge responsibility to pass on that which the Lord has given us by way of our faith, our personal faith in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying, and I hope you already know that, none of us have the ability, the capability of bringing someone to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we can share our faith, what God has done in our life, and we can share the power of the gospel with the intent and the hope that God will take that seed and plant it into the heart of someone else, and they will come to know Him, and then we invest our lives in those who come to know Christ so that we can pass on the faith, the gospel, to those who will come after us. I want to read this morning out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, and then come back and share some thoughts with us today. Paul is personally going to encourage Timothy, and he's trying to build into him what I would call a legacy of faith, a lasting legacy, leaving a lasting legacy. We are, most of us know enough about growing up here. You grew up here. I was a transplant, but when I came to Michigan, everybody that I came in contact with started to say to me, "What, you're not driving a Ford?" I didn't know to be a resident of Michigan, you're supposed to drive a Ford. But everybody was telling me, "You're in Ford country. You're in Ford country." Well, I didn't really know what that meant. I'd heard about this guy named Henry Ford. And over the years, though, I've learned some things about the industry, the Ford Motor Company, having lived here. We've learned that they are a company that has lasted for over 100 years. Five generations of the Ford family have served in that company. I think it's Henry Clay that's in a leadership role right now. But there was something that Henry Ford learned very early on, that if he wanted to leave behind a legacy in his industry, in his business, that what he had learned that worked well, that he would make sure that his family ahead of him or behind him would know about those practices. And that would be passed down from generation to generation to generation. We're now, and by the way, Ford brags about this, and I think they have every right to brag about this, that when we had the downturn in the American economy, they were the only automaker that said, "No, government, we don't need your money." I'm not bragging for them, but I do know that they said, "No, we don't need your money." So something must have been working right for Henry Ford and for Ford Motor Company. And I use them as an example this morning because all of us, every one of us, want to impact people around us in some way. And we will never be able to leave behind the legacy. I doubt it, I should say, with an asterisk probably. I doubt that we will be able to leave behind a business legacy like Henry Ford left behind. I doubt that. The amount of money and industry that he developed and passed along that it continues to be developed. But his desire was to make sure that what he started would not die when he died. And that when those who followed him, that he taught about the industry, when they died, what he started would not die. And after they left this scene called earth, that what he started over 100 years ago would not die. And now today we're still driving. I'm driving a Ford pickup. It's still operating. It's still the Ford Motor Company is still building vehicles and improving on those vehicles. Henry Ford had something right, and we can't pass We cannot pass on perhaps that kind of a legacy, but I want to remind you of something as a follower of God. God never intended. There's nothing wrong with leaving behind stuff to our families. Now, I've committed that I'm not going to leave anything to my kids. I'm going to spend everything I have, and I'm going to leave nothing behind so that they can understand that work gains a lot of stuff. And Amanda's sitting over there saying, Daddy, don't be saying that. Don't be saying that. But we strive, and there's nothing wrong with leaving stuff behind, material stuff. But the Bible warns us that our hearts should not be wrapped up in leaving material things behind for people. It warns us that the legacy we want to leave behind is a spiritual legacy, that our sons and daughters know that we walk by faith in a living God, that our grandchildren knew that their grandfather or grandmother or our great-grandchildren that one day will come along, that will follow, will say, you know, Papa Roy was a Christian, he was a believer. We are challenged not to leave behind the things that will gather rust and dust and moth will destroy, he says, but to lay up treasures in heaven, investing in a spiritual legacy, a legacy of faith. I'm so grateful today, so thankful today that though it took a long time for the impact of my mom's faith to be known in our family, that when my mom came to faith as a little girl, as a teenager, 11 or 12-year-old teenager, though her husband was a heathen, so lost, so wrapped up in the world, and she raised 15 children lost, wrapped up in the world until God began to work in their lives, I'm so glad today that my children and my grandchildren, much of who they are, started back with a mother, my mother. She passed on a legacy of faith. Somebody passed that along to her. Last week, we closed our message by asking you, how profitable are you to the people around you? It said that Onesiphorus had profited Paul. And I ask you that question as we closed last week. How profitable are you spiritually to the people around you? One day, you're going to be gone, and so am I. Will those who follow us be able to pattern their life after us, saying there were many things that perhaps weren't important to my loved one, whether it be my dad or my mom or my brother, whoever it was. But there was one thing that I know that showed in every part of their life that was a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of them, they've impacted my life in such a way that I want to pass that legacy along to my children and my grandchildren. This is where Paul is. He's trying to build and leave for Timothy a lasting legacy of faith. So he says in verse 1, I've got to hurry. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard of me, one translation says from me, among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that engages, or no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strives for masteries or strives in athletics, yet he is not crowned, does not get a crown, except he strive lawfully. The farmer that labors must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and all the Lord, and the Lord will give you understanding in all these things. Consider, he says, what I've just spoken to you and what I'm going to say to you, Timothy. Take this to heart. Live by it. When he says consider it, he doesn't say just think about it. That word consider really means, Timothy, make this a pattern of life. Consider what I'm telling you and let the Lord by his Spirit burn this into you. Let him show you this to be a truth. And so he's leaving this legacy. Let me quickly point out three things about how we can leave a legacy of faith with those that one day we will leave behind when the Lord calls for us. Number one, let us never forget, and I'm afraid too many Christians have forgotten this. We may not have forgotten it here, but we've really forgotten it in our spiritual emotions. We've forgotten it with our spiritual passion. Never forget that the only way you can leave a legacy of faith is to know that it already started in you by the grace of God. It all centers on grace. I love the way Paul speaks to Timothy. He says, Timothy, I want you to be strong. but don't be strong in yourself. Timothy, I want you to be strong, but you don't need to be strong in me. My flesh is weak. My flesh will fail me. But Timothy, be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've got to ask you a personal question this morning. You see, I'm so blessed because as I prepare messages and study and the Spirit of God pours into our lives, as we prepare to preach and give the Word of God to you, God does His work in us. But this week, as I was preparing for this, God took me all the way back to that day as a 15-year-old boy, teenager, lost, away from Him. Didn't even know it, folks. I didn't even know I was away from God. I didn't understand being lost. I was not in a Christian family other than Mom's faith, and she was not even able to live out her faith by taking us to church. Dad wouldn't let her. I didn't understand anything. But I met a couple of men that told me about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How that Jesus came and died on a cross for my sin because sin had to be paid for. And there's a penalty to sin. It's called death, spiritual death. And that I was dead in my sins. And as a 15-year-old boy, I didn't understand all that. They told me that, however, because Jesus died on a cross and took my sins, that my sins were fully paid for. I had to trust in that grace that put Jesus on that cross. And I remember that evening at my home, at my house, as a 15-year-old boy, God's Spirit working in me to understand that, my need. And I remember the next morning when I placed my faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And when I stand today, the only hope that I have to encourage people, especially those that come behind me that need to understand what it means to have a legacy of faith, it is this: you can't work for it. You can't earn it on your own. You'll never be good enough to receive it. It will come in only one way: by the grace of a God that loved you enough to send His Son to die on a cross so that you could be forgiven of sin by, as Matt said this morning, turning in repentance to God, believing that what He said He would do in your life, because no one is worthy of that. And He said, Timothy, if you stand, the only place you'll ever be strong is if you stand in the grace of God, that grace that saves you, the saving grace and the grace that you will live by. Be strong in the grace of our Lord. When's the last time you told someone about the grace of God? Now, I know none of you in this building are guilty of this. I know you're not. You would never look at another person in their sin and judge them, would you? You would never see their lives and say, well, I don't need to talk to them because they're not going to listen to me anyway. They're too far in their sin. They're going to ignore me, or they're going to tell me to stay out of their business. There's only one way to respond to people in their sin, is to remind them that there's a God that loves them in spite of their sin today. Matter of fact, He loves that man or that woman as much as He loves you who've tasted His grace. Now, that doesn't mean that if they don't turn to Him by faith, He won't stand as judge one day and condemn them to death. But what it means is this: they need to know that they've not gone so far that the grace of God can't touch their life. They're not in such sin that God doesn't understand. No, the same Jesus that died on the cross for your sin died for theirs. There, you may try to measure their sin. It's just worse than yours was. You know, aren't we good at that? I'm telling y'all, folks, I'm not good at a lot, but I'm good at that. I can look at other people and tell you how much worse off they are in their sin. But what I ought to be doing is this: leaving behind a legacy that says, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you are my wayward son. You need to know God's grace can touch your life if you let it. Some of you have wayward children. Some of you have wayward grandchildren in this room this morning. Some of you, you raised them in church. You've watched them go to Sunday school, and now they're living in the world. You can't fix them. You've tried, haven't you? How's it going? How's that working? How's it working for you to tell them how to straighten their life out? Have they responded well? Probably not. But I can tell you something that can change their life, that you can leave them. Every moment you get with them, you remind them that you're praying that the grace of God that has kept your feet on the right path, or when you've gotten off the path, the grace of God that redirected you is going to redirect them Paul said, remember, Timothy, our life is only strong if we stand in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only difference between me and the man that's done the worst crimes in the world, the only difference is I stand in God's grace. I'm no more worthy than he is of the grace of God, but I've received it. Today we live in a crazy, unsettling world where we hear such horrendous stories of things that people are doing, humanity one to another. The only hope of that ever changing in anybody's life is the grace of God. Remember, it's all about grace. But then secondly, Paul says, Timothy, not only remember to point people to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you yourself stand in that grace. You see, we can't point someone to something if we're not already standing in it. I get so frustrated that people, church members even, that come to me and say, I want you to pray for my brother-in-law. I want you to pray for my sister-in-law. I want you to pray for my neighbor. I want you to go tell them about Jesus. And they say, well, you go tell them about Jesus. Well, no, you don't understand, Pastor. I work with them. They know me. Well, they ought to know you enough to know that the grace of God has touched your life. And if you've failed, if you've sinned greatly, even in the grace of God, they ought to see a repentant heart that is so changed that it gives you even a greater merit to stand before them and say, this is what grace is about. He points him to stand in the grace of God. Then secondly, in verse 2 through 6, he challenges Timothy. Timothy, having tasted the grace of God, develop a life of strong Christian character. Develop a life of strong Christian character, Christian conviction, a life lived for God. Now, I want to state this because too many people live our lives anymore and we become so judgmental. We see people in their faults. God knows, but that's not as important as you knowing this. None of us stand perfect before a holy God except in Christ Jesus. And we strive daily to try to live a life pleasing to God. And it's not easy. It's hard. It has to be developed. And just when you think you've got something conquered or you've reached a point in your life that you're doing well, Satan does something else, or your pride, and he works in you. Remember what Paul said, the things that I find myself not wanting to do, I do them. And the things that I wished I were doing, I didn't. So it's a constant battle. But we need to be striving every day to develop that faith, to develop it into strong Christian character so that the people that we're investing our lives in can see those qualities in our lives that reflect the work of grace, the work of the cross in our lives. And so he gives it to Timothy this way. He says, develop this strong Christian character. He says in verse 2, the things that you've heard of me or from me among many witnesses, among many witnesses. I like the way Paul put that. What Paul is saying is this. Don't just take my word for it, Timothy, that God's changed my life and you've seen some of me. Talk to the people that have been impacted by my life. You've heard from some of them. He mentions Luke and others. You know there are other witnesses of what God has done in my life. How would you have liked to have been those early believers when Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, came into your camp and said, hey, I've become a Christian now, and I want to join the group. That's what happened in the Bible. After he came to know Christ, they were scared to death of Paul. Some of them said, hey, we don't want this guy around. He's been killing Christians. But God transformed his life and over time developed in him such character that now Paul can say, Timothy, there are many witnesses. Paul's not bragging on himself. He's bragging on what Jesus has done in his life. And he says, Timothy, you've heard these things of me and from me among many witnesses. I have allowed God to develop in me to have Christian character. And he gives him three examples of this. And these would serve us well if we could be reminded of these today, folks, as believers. He says the only way you're going to develop Christian character is, remember, you're like a soldier. You're like a soldier. You've enlisted in the army of God. And so he says in verse 3 and verse 4, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man entangles himself, or no man that wars or goes to war entangles himself with the affairs of this life. The New King James, the NIV and other translations says, he does not get caught up in civilian life. If he's going to be in battle, if he's going to be a warrior, he's got to be a warrior. He's got to walk away from civilian life. He's got to devote himself as a soldier, singularly devoted. I've often wondered why I've never served in the military, and I'm an advocate. Matter of fact, I'm a big advocate that our nation might be different with many of our young people if all of us had to serve in military service. That's just personal. I'm just telling you, that's a personal thing that over the years that God has really burnt in my life, because I see people who've developed some disciplines in their life. Not all of them. But when you enlist in military service, guess what? Civilian life ends at that point if you're going to be successful. There are some men and women here who can tell you about that. If you're going to develop to be the soldier that you need to be, who's devoted only to your one person in charge, you can't get caught up in all the civilian life. You can't live like the person down the street lives. You're devoted. You're singularly devoted. And when called upon, you respond. Boy, that's a hard subject. I'm looking at my time this morning. I'm not going to get very far. I'd like to dive in right here. You're singularly devoted. When called upon, you respond. Let me ask people today, hey, we're going to serve God today. We're going to go feed people who are homeless, or we're going to go serve God, and you can give them 3 months' notice. You know what they tell me? You don't understand, Pastor. I got so much going on. Well, where's that singular devotion to God? Pastor, you don't understand. I've got to do this. No, Paul is saying, when you die and you're devoted to everything else, they're not going to remember about you that you were a warrior for Christ. You have to be singularly devoted like a soldier who's enlisted in the military, who says, I have one devotion, it's to you. As you do, it develops Christian character in you. Singular devotion. He says, not only like a soldier, but like an athlete, seeking to obey the rules of the game. He says in verse 5, if any man strives in athletics or for masteries, he does not receive a crown except he strive lawfully. In other words, he obeys the rules that are set forth for the game. Now, we read too many stories today. Young people, please, I hope you understand this. Parents, maybe I should forget about young people and talk to parents here. Parents, let me just talk to you for just a minute. Quit pushing your kids to try to be like Mike. I didn't hear one amen. Quit trying to push your kids to be like this person or that athlete because you want them to be successful. By the way, you have the most gifted kid in the world. You know that, don't you? He or she is far better than any other athletes that played the sport. And then you'll have a few coaches that will tell you this or that or the other. But if they're going to be successful, they're going to have to sell out totally to the sport. Totally. So much so that in today's world, parents hate this when it comes from the pastor. They hate it when a youth pastor says this. They hate it when a spiritual-minded person says this. When they say to them, what is wrong with you? Why does your son or daughter never show up for youth group? Why are they not at church on this weekend? Why are they here? Well, Pastor Roy, they had a tournament. Oh, wow, I'm sorry. I know that's going to make them have a lasting legacy of faith. I had kids, folks. I had athletes. I'm not telling you something that every family doesn't struggle with. But what I'm saying about that is this. He's trying to let us see that just like an athlete has to sell himself, like a soldier has to give himself when he enlists, like an athlete has to say, no, I have but one devotion, and I'm going to follow the rules of the game. I can't eat honey buns, Roy, like you. I'm on a strict diet. I see a runner right here. Cameron's a runner. Cameron, stand up. I just want to stand up, Cameron. Stand up. I'm not embarrassing you. Cameron, I looked like you one day, minus the hair. I looked like you. I was thin like that. I knew how to run, and I ran, and I played sports. And when I was playing sports, I looked like that. Guess what? How devoted do you think I am? how do you think, how well do you think I'm doing now obeying the rules of the game? Folks, listen. Please hear your pastor this morning. Please hear the messenger of God. We are not leaving a legacy because we're not committed to leaving a legacy. We're playing games with spiritual truths. We wonder why our children aren't following God when we're pushing them every direction except to God. We're wondering why our families aren't seeking to lay up treasures in heaven when we're trying to get them to seek to lay up treasures on earth. A bigger house, a better car, or more cars, or a better job. Paul says, I'm going to leave a legacy of faith, and it'll have nothing to do with any of those things that the world thinks. I'm going to live like a soldier who's devoted singularly to my commander. I'm going to live like an athlete who's going to obey by the rules. I'm going to live like I should live. I'm going to act like I should like. We see too many athletes that think they don't have to obey by the rules today, and all of them end up in shame. We see it one after the other after the other. Later we find out that they cheated. People just, now their name is shamed. As Christians, leaving a legacy of faith, we must live like that soldier that's devoted, like that athlete who chooses to obey the rules of the game. Then he says, like a farmer that labors with the hopes of being the first one to partake of the fruit of the ground. Now, we don't understand this today because of our culture. You're going to go to the store and pick your fruit or vegetable off of a shelf. By the way, does anybody know where you can get a ripe banana today? You try to buy bananas lately? They're green. But we're going to go, and we're just going to get what we want. But in Paul's time, what he was saying is this: when that guy planted his crops, his family was going to be the first ones to eat of those crops because it was going to sustain his family before it sustained anybody else. Paul's saying, as a soldier, as an athlete, as a farmer, you want to leave a spiritual legacy? You work hard. You plant a crop that's going to be lasting. You plant a crop that's going to benefit your family, that they're going to be sustained by before anyone else. Not that others aren't important. He's trying to paint this picture to Timothy that leaving a legacy of faith doesn't just happen. It takes devotion. It takes commitment. It takes faithfulness, and especially when it gets hard, because Paul, remember, is in a dungeon waiting for his head to be taken off. And he's still speaking like a soldier that's going to his last tour of duty. He's still speaking like an athlete that says, this may be my last race, but I'm going to run it well. He's still speaking like a farmer that says, I may not ever see another crop, but I'm going to make sure that this one grows well, that this one produces well, knowing that when he's dead and gone, that's what Timothy would remember about him. And so he says, build or develop a strong Christian character. And then lastly, entrust what you've experienced to others. Verse 2 is the whole flux of this whole message. He says in verse 2, Timothy, the things you've heard of me or from me among many witnesses, you commit now to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You commit to faithful men. We begin to invest ourselves and entrust what we've experienced in a life of faith to those around us. Now, some people are going to struggle with what I'm about to say here, and I know that. There are going to be people here, and there are going to be people who hear this, and that's okay, but I'm going to stand on this word rather than what some people want me to stand on. And many of you aren't going to like this that are here. I know that, some of you, because I'm just trying to be transparent and honest. I don't know you as well as I should know you, but I do know this. When we entrust the things of faith to other people, Paul was very, very focused in the information and the instructions he gave Timothy. He said, Timothy, be selective in who you entrust it to. He said, the things that you've heard of me or from me, you now commit to faithful men, faithful women. As a pastor, I get this all the time. I get it all the time. People say, well, what about so-and-so out there? You know, they come to church once a month. Why don't they do this? You know what my response is? How am I going to entrust the seriousness of ministry to someone that's not faithful already? Folks, listen, we're not talking about building an automobile. If Henry Ford's dynasty ends today, guess what? There'll be a GM product or some product. We're not talking about cars. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about serious matters. Serious matters. And we live in a day when Christianity is treated as if it's just added to a smorgasbord of the way we live our life. And so I'll be there when I want to be there. I'll be faithful when I want to be faithful. I'll come when I want to come. I'll go when I want to go. And if, Pastor, you don't like that, like I have anything at all to do with it, I'm not your commander in chief. He is. You're not going to stand before me one day to give an accounting of that, but you will stand before him. And I have just enough courage to tell you that he is watching your life. I know that you can't entrust spiritual things to people who are not faithful. If you do, the Bible says, it'll be trampled. Be selective. Find people who have tasted grace and understand the seriousness of the gospel. Is it any wonder Jesus said this? Listen, Paul didn't say what I'm about to say to you. Another biblical writer didn't say this. Jesus said this. This ought to make all of us in this room, beginning with me, think seriously about what I'm about to say. Jesus said there will be many who say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, and they'll give me a list of things. And Jesus is going to say, but I've never known them, and I'll tell them I never knew you, because he said this. There are going to be many that are going to walk down the wide path. You see, the wide path means you can take a lot of stuff with you. You can be an athlete, you can be a football player, you can be a basketball player, you can commit to that, you can be whatever you want to be. And just, you know, pick up a bag that says, I'm a Christian on it. Get a Bible and, you know, take it with you wherever you go. And get a little pen or get a t-shirt that says, I attended church Sunday. Just take all of that stuff with you. But Jesus said this about the wide road, that everybody's on, or almost everybody's on. They're not going to get to heaven, because they really don't have faith. And then he talked about a real narrow path. And Jesus said this, few, there will be that will find it. What he meant was this, few are willing to sacrifice, turn away from their sin, commit to Christian character building, commit to a life of faith. Few are willing to do that. Few. But to those who do, he says, I will reward greatly. So he says, entrust it. Entrust what I've entrusted you. He's talking about the word of God and the truths of the gospel. Entrust it to faithful men. Listen, there are some men right now. Listen, you don't like this. They are bringing shame to the gospel of my Lord. They're not preaching the gospel of my Lord. They're telling people you can live any way you want to live and know Jesus. They're telling people that you don't have to commit to anything. Just pray a prayer and believe in yourself and believe that Jesus was who he said he was and just live any way you want to. He's going to let you in when you get there. That's not what the gospel of this book says. No, 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 no. And if you believe that, I want to forewarn you. You are headed not toward heaven. You're headed to a place called hell. Because it takes those of us who are committed to repent of sin. I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about when faith touches our lives, we're willing to commit to what it takes to build character. So he said, entrust it to faithful men. This morning over at Morley, Michigan, there are a few faithful people that have been entrusted already to get ready for us to come into camp. We've worked weeks, they have, to prepare the Word of God. Our kids are not going to somewhere this week, folks, where they're just going to have a ball and have fun. We're going to have, listen, teenagers, I don't know who keeps telling these parents that I do a lot of things at camp, but y'all need to stop it, okay? We're going to have fun at camp. But here's what they're going to get at camp. They're going to get an overabundant diet of the truths of the Word of God. They're going to be in the Scripture. They're going to be taught how to pray. They're going to be taught how to compete for the faith. If we want to send them off to play, we'll spend $700 and send them to some of the fun camps. We'll charge $100 and something and take them and try to teach them. Why? Because we believe that will last. And it's been entrusted to faithful men already. Pastor Tim and those that are there have been found faithful. I don't worry about what's going to happen when they get there. They've already proven themselves faithful. I was speaking to my son Adam last week, and he was telling me, he said, Dad, I met a young man. He was telling me that their church had just gone to a youth camp. He came back and he said, guess what? We just came from youth camp. He said, listen, it was strange. We had to read chapters every day at camp. We had to read devotions, and we got points, and we had to study Scripture. We had Bible quiz, and Adam said, well, that sounds like the kind of camps that my dad runs. Come to find out, it was a young man that was in youth ministry many years ago who'd come to faith in Jesus, and today he's doing what he learned back then, that if you want to change a young person's heart, don't give them fun and games. Give them the Word of God. They can go to a water slide that we can't produce at Morley, Michigan. They can go to Six Flags and have fun. We want them to go where they can learn that Jesus is Lord and it's worth following him. So he says, be selective. Entrust it to faithful men. Men who are faithful, men who are competent. He says, those who then, look at verse 2 again, will be able to teach it to others also. The worst fear that I have as a pastor is this. That I have given my life and you have given your life if you're a child of God. To people, and they're incompetent or choose to be incompetent. What that means, incompetence is this, knowing how to do it but not being willing to do it. Listen, there are a lot of mechanics that are competent, but they're not going to work on a car. They're going to choose not to. Competence is an attitude a lot. He says, those who then will pass it on to other people. Now, I don't ever do this, but I wrote this morning. I used what someone has called the common sense version of this verse. It's in your notes. I want to read it. Here's what Paul was saying to Timothy, and I'm going to close. Timothy, pay strict attention to the things you have heard of me from many witnesses, as well as what you have seen me do, that you might commit these things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also to follow, here it is, and to practice. My daughter's a teacher, and we've battled with this with teachers for years, answering this question. How do you know if you've really taught someone? I can tell you how, when they apply it. You can give them all the knowledge you want. But you know they've been taught when. They not only know the answer, but they live by that. Be selective. Be selective. Now, here's the good news. There's potential in all of us. Before you leave saying, well, Pastor Roy, you must not think that I'm able. Or God must not think that I'm able. Here's the good news. Paul, before he was Paul, was not a good candidate to be carrying on this work. You remember Saul of Tarsus? But God knew that he was a man that he could change. If you're willing to be devoted like an athlete or soldier or farmer who eats the dust from dusk to dark and sometimes afterwards, a farmer who doesn't get to see his family during that harvest or that planting season, if you're willing to be devoted, God says, you're the kind of man or woman that I'm looking for. You may not know it now, but I'm going to grow you up to be that person that's going to leave behind a lasting legacy of faith.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.